And so we're in this journey through the book of 1 John. We actually finished 1 John 1 2 weeks ago. And so as a little bit of a review, we have the first one up there, Tom. There we go. It says, John has experienced God through his son Jesus, and he wants you to know that you can experience him too, and so you can have complete joy. So John is talking to us about the fact that there is a God who does love us and wants to be with us, and we can have complete joy when we choose to follow him. So that's 1 John 1-4, and then 5-10, it goes like this. So we experience true fellowship with God, who is the light, when we recognize our sin, confess it, and put our trust in Jesus, in his blood to cleanse us from all the wrongs we have done, and we are forgiven. So the first part of John 1 is all about the fact that there is a God who loves us, wants to be with us so we can have fellowship with him and have complete joy. And the second part is really about how we have that, the fact how we can have relationship with Jesus, which is by the realizing we have sin, confessing it, and accepting his forgiveness for us. And when we do this, we get an understanding of what some true teaching is, the fact that God is real, and we have to confess our sins so we can experience complete joy in him. So that's true teaching, true loving, God loves us, true living in Christ, and complete joy. Now, my friend Adam is out and about with his kids again, and he took them on a hike through this beautiful valley. And I just love that image of this beautiful area of nature. And I think that's what God wants to offer us. He wants to offer us this wonderful relationship with him. But sometimes we're just so close to things that we can't see it. So we actually have to take a bird's eye view out and see what God is offering us. And that's one of the things that we're doing in 1 John. We're taking, like, this is 1 John, but then we're actually drilling into some of these words. And so we're going to jump right into 1 John 2. And so I'm going to read this out loud with you. It says, "My dear children, I write this letter to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have a helper in the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ, the one who does what is right." Verse 2 says, "He died in our place to take away our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all people." Verse 3. "We can be sure that we know God if we obey his commands. Anyone who says, 'I know God,' but does not obey God's commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if someone obeys God's teaching, then in that person, God's love has truly reached its goal. This is how we can be sure we are living in God. Whoever says that he lives in God must live as Jesus lived." Now, as those words are up on the screen, what phrases stand out to you? Or words? Helper? Good word. God's commands? Obey? Live in him? Say it again. Teachers? Yeah. Anything else stand out? Jesus. I know it's hard. We took a whole hour away from your sleep pattern. Now I'm asking you to think during church. Anything else stand out? If we speak it, we need to live it. All right. Anything else? Yeah.
Loving Jesus.
Yeah. And so there's three phrases that stood out to me. The first one was, no sin. That's in the first verse there. The second one is helper. And the third one is obey. So next, my question is, did I write a question there, Tom? What is sin? So I talked about this a few weeks ago. Because in that very first sentence, he says, "I'm writing this to you so you will not sin." So obviously, there's something really important about sin that he wants us to get, right? Because he talks about it at the end of chapter 1, and now here he is saying very clearly, "I'm writing to you so you will not sin." So if we were to define sin, we would say it like this. Sin is, first one, it's doing things our way instead of God's way. Or secondly, it is trusting and acting on our own opinions and having and feelings instead of trusting God and acting on His truth. So it's doing trusting in us rather than trusting in God. Thirdly, it's thinking or believing that we know better than God. That's where I always go, because I always think I know better than God. So examples would be disobeying, lying, hurting others, and being selfish. So why are all these things a problem? Because remember, John is writing to us saying, like, I'm telling you, I'm writing you these things so you don't sin. So we already know what sin is. It's separation from God. It's thinking that we know better than Him. So why is this a problem, right? Because this is what John is writing about. I'm writing to you so you do not sin. So obviously there's a problem with sin. So some of the problems might be, first one, sin, no matter how small we think it is, will always separate us from God. Always. It's like if you're married, and maybe you do this on purpose, but your husband or wife gives you a list of things to go to the grocery store with. And see, some of you are already smiling because you know what happens. You come back having gotten nothing on the grocery list and everything that you wanted, because you can't really understand why they would put those, like, who really needs cream of tartar? Right? And then you go and you complain why the egg whites on your pie are not very high, and now you're thinking somebody's getting pie? Anyways. But you start to wonder about this list of things. Why are they there? And so you don't even bother getting the stuff on the list, and so that it causes distance between you and your spouse who sent you with that list. They're probably not going to trust you, and maybe that was the purpose in the first place. Anyways, moving on. Sin messes up our relationships with others. Thirdly, sin corrupts our identity. As we start believing lies about ourselves and who we are and who God created us to be, I'm going to say that again. Sin corrupts our identity. So we actually have to, like, relearn who God created us to be. And fourthly, sin deceives us into thinking that our choices are good. Sin deceives us into thinking that our choices are good. It has that way, right? And lastly, sin leads to death. Romans 3:23 says the wages of sin is death. That means the payment of sin. When we choose our way over God's way, then that's death. Full separation between us and God forever. So when John writes, I write this to you so you won't sin, it's because of his loving heart for the people that are reading this. He says, I love you so much, I don't want you to miss out on what God has for you. I want to tell you about what sin is, because it just destroys everything. It creates separation between you and God. So don't sin, because I want you to live forever with Him. And so John says, and I love this in 1 John 1, it says that Jesus is our helper. Can we say that together? Helper. Okay, now some of us have problems asking for help. It's kind of like asking for directions when you get lost. It's like, you don't want to ask for help. You don't want to admit that you're wrong or that you need help. But this, in 1 John 2, says, my dear children, I write this letter to you so you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, you have a helper in the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ, the one who does what is right. He died in our place to take away our sins, not only our sins, but the sins of the people. I love that image that Jesus is our helper. So you have to remember, in the beginning, we were created to be with God, experiencing everything that is good and right in His kingdom. And it looks like this. Whoop. Look at that. Look at that kingdom of light. Peace, patience, self-control, life, light, belonging, humility, relationship, wholeness. We were created to experience all of these things. But when Eve chose to disobey God, we were transferred from the kingdom of light to the kingdom of darkness. And so we actually come into experiencing all those negative things: impurity, selfishness, disobedience, gossip, hurt, hatred. And so when we choose to put our trust in Jesus Christ, He then transforms us so we can actually experience the kingdom of light while we are still a part of this world until Jesus takes us home. And so when we say that Jesus is our helper, he can help us experience everything in the yellow circle in the kingdom of light. We just need to ask for help. Can we say that? Ask for help. Let's say that again. Ask for help. One more time. Ask for help. And for some of you, that's the first time you've ever said those words. Ask for help. And so you can ask for help. Dear Jesus, help me to be kind today. Dear Jesus, help me to experience your goodness today. Help me to respect other people. Help me to experience your love. We can actually say, would you help me? And he will, because that's what a helper does. A friend of mine has the gift of helps. And every time I have a problem, she literally steps right up and says, what do you need help with? And I need to be willing to say, yes, I will receive your help. But we have to be willing to receive the help that Jesus offers us. Because that's who he is. He wants to help. So John has written this letter so that we will not sin. But when we do sin, Jesus is there. Jesus, who we sang about, right? The way maker, miracle maker, light in the darkness. This is who Jesus is. And all we need to do is ask for his help. Ask for his help. Lord, would you help me to be nice today? Would you help me to actually obey you? Which brings me to the next third word, obey. And I heard somebody say it, but the passage goes like this. We can be sure that we know God if we obey his commands. Verse 4. Anyone who says, I know God, but does not obey God's command is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if someone obeys God's teaching, then in that person, God's love has truly reached its goal. This is how we can be sure we are living in God. Verse 6, whoever says that he lives in God must live as Jesus lived. So the obedience is the key here. It says on the next slide, obedience to God's commands is evidence. Everybody say evidence. That we are walking in the light, fellowshipping with God. Why? Why is it evidence? That's a question for you. Why is it evidence? It needs to be seen. So there's something more than just saying it with our lips. It's our actions. Our actions speak louder than words sometimes. And I've heard this. Well, they say they're a Christian, but this is what they're doing. I hear that a lot. They say they serve Jesus, but this is what their actions are. And so when we say obedience to God's command is evidence, that means we actually are walking out the things that we believe. And so the question is, why don't people obey God? Because we want what we want. Did somebody else say something? We're afraid of the truth. Okay. These are good answers. See, this is why I don't have to preach, because you guys can preach to yourselves. See, really, that is what my point is. If I can get you saying it, then you preach to yourselves, and you hear those words come out of your lips, and you're like, shoot the dog. All right, actually, we don't shoot dogs anymore. I have dog lovers in my office, so we've had to come up with something else. They all love dogs. They all love dogs. And I can't say there's always another way to skin a cat, because really, that's wrong, too. So, here we go. Why don't people obey? Lack of awareness of God's character. They don't know who God is, or they don't know the truth. Like Eve, she didn't fully know who God was, so she sinned. That doesn't mean that we get, like, you know, go past go card, get out of jail free card, because we don't know about sin. There's still consequences. Or secondly, rebellion. We love independence and oppose authority. So in the book of Exodus, Pharaoh, the king, actually says, who is this God? Why should I listen to him? right? And as a result, well, you know what happened to Pharaoh, right? All the plagues came on, which was actually an act of God's goodness to Pharaoh, trying to draw him to himself. But Pharaoh continued in his own rebellion. Or what about this one? Fear, a lack of trust in God's goodness, kindness, and love. So 1 Samuel 15, King Saul is given a task, and he doesn't do it. And this is what he says to the prophet Samuel. I was afraid of the people. So he chose to be afraid of the people and disobey God rather than obey what God had asked him to do. And as a result, the kingdom was taken away from him. Or next, pride or self-idolatry. So King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4 actually stood up on the roof of his castle and he looked over everything and he said, look at the greatness that I have achieved. And at that point, God struck him down and took away his kingdom. So when we say, you know, why don't people obey God? Often it is a lack of awareness. They just don't know that what they're doing is sinful, or they don't know who God is. Rebellion, right? They want to do what they want to do, and nothing is going to stop them. Fear or pride. I'm going to throw in another one that's not here. They actually like their sin. That's not up there, but I'll let you muddle that one over. People like their sin. That's why they sin, because they like it. That's often why we sin. It's because we like doing whatever that is, and we don't understand what God's heart is. We don't understand that that sin actually separates us from God, separates our relationships with others. That actually, if we continue to do that, it says disobedience leads to darkness. And I'm going to have a wee bit of a picture here. When I choose to sin, my mother asks me to do something, and I choose not to do it, then this little thing goes in my ear, and I can't hear what she's saying anymore. None of you have ever done that. Or tax season is coming up, and I did make some extra money on the side when I went out to camp, but I don't need to submit that to the government. They don't need to know that. So now I really can't hear. Boy, these are good. All right. So now I really can't hear. So you could be talking to me. And did my voice get really loud all of a sudden? Okay. So then, ooh, now I really, really can't hear. So, God says, I want you to get rid of Netflix. What? What are you saying, God? I can't understand why God would want me to get rid of Netflix. Really? Everything is good and wholesome on Netflix. There's is somebody laughing? I can't hear anything. So then eventually what happens is, now, I can't see and I can't hear. And I have a feeling that if I took a step forward, I just might fall down and burn my hair off. Brian. Funny, David. Obviously, I can still hear you. But when we sin, really, it feels really awkward and alone, and all I can hear is my own voice guiding and directing me, and that's actually quite scary because I get things wrong a lot. And yet this is what disobedience does. I cannot see where I'm supposed to go, and I cannot hear God's voice directing me. And so I sit in darkness, and I wonder why I can't experience God's joy. And I wonder why I can't experience God's peace. And it's only when I say, Dear Lord Jesus, I have sinned. Please forgive me. That he starts taking off the spiritual blinders and releasing me from a deaf spirit And all of a sudden, I can hear him again. And it's interesting, yesterday, as I was preparing, I said, Lord, you know, is there something that you want me to do? And immediately, I want you to delete the Disney Channel. And I was like, I think you asked me to do this before, but I'll do it later. And at that moment, my heart was convicted because I felt one of these going in. And I had to make a choice. He says, what happens when you come home? I said, I turn on the right. You start setting up things that separate you from me so I actually can't speak into your heart. I want you to get rid of it. So I had a choice. I had a choice to actually put one of these in my ear and start the process all over again. Or I could just say yes to the Lord. Because I don't want to live in darkness. I want to be able to hear everything that God has for me. And that's why John is writing this letter. Because he doesn't want us to miss out on anything that God has for us. God loves us so much that when we disobey, he sees what happens to our lives. And he doesn't want that. So next. When I disobey, God convicts. That's the squeezing in your heart. You kind of feel a little uncomfortable. And then God convicts to correct the direction that I'm heading in. Because he knows if I continue to go in this direction, that I'm going to get into a place that is not good for me. God corrects to protect me from hurt and from danger. And God protects because he loves me. Ultimately, that's why he sets up rules and boundaries, because he loves us so much. He wants us to say no to things because he loves us so much, because he wants us to experience the fullness that he has for us. And God loves me and wants the best for me. And so because God wants the best for me, he asks me to obey. He asks me to obey. He doesn't force me to obey, because that's not what relationship is all about. He asks me to obey. And when I obey, it leads to blessing. It leads to experience a fullness of life that is beyond what I could ever imagine or hope for. We see this in Exodus, where the midwives were actually told to kill all of the baby boys. And it says, because they honored God, they said, no, they wouldn't do that. And they let the little boys live. And God actually gave them their own families because they chose to obey God. And then in Acts 13:22, it says, after removing Saul, remember, Saul disobeyed God. It says, God made David their king. God testified concerning him. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. We know that David messed up, but his heart was to serve Jesus. And then thirdly, in Daniel, this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who said, you know what? We're going to serve God. It is wrong to bow our knee to you or anyone else besides God. And it says, but even if he doesn't save us from this fiery furnace, because that was the choice, either bow down and worship or serve your God and go into the furnace. He says, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. And as a result, God actually got in there in the fiery furnace, walked around with them, and they came out. They didn't even smell like smoke. Obedience always leads to blessing. And the final one that I wanted to talk about was this one from Romans. It says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, that's Jesus, many were made righteous. And so when we sin or when we disobey, it actually causes problems in other people's lives. But when we choose to obey God, there is blessing. There is blessing for your family. There is blessing for your workspace. There is blessing for your neighborhood. And it's not easy. Paul, in the book of Romans, talks, I love this passage, and it's always a bit of a tongue twister, so I'm going to read it anyways. But he says this, I do not understand the things I do. I do not want to do what I do not do what I want to do, and I do the things I hate. And if I do not want to do the things I hated, if I do not want to do, see how hard it is to get through this passage. because that's the problem. The problem is we do things that we don't want to do, and the things that we do want to do, we don't do. And it goes on to say, so we're just going to skip through all those things, and it goes on like this. So I have learned this rule. When I want to do good, evil is there with me. In my mind, I am happy with God's law, but I see another law working in my body, which makes war against the law that makes me a prisoner. Thank you, that my mind accepts. The other law working in my body is the law of sin, and it makes me its prisoner. What a miserable man I am. Who will save me? This body that brings me death? I thank God for saving me through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is our helper. So even though we don't want to do the things that we don't want to do, we do. And the things that we do want to do, we don't. We surrender them to Jesus. And we say, Jesus, would you just come? And would you help me? And so, next. I've asked Gary if he would come and share his story with us this morning. So, Gary, if you want to come on up. I don't know if you want to be up here, if you want to be down. You're going to be up here. All right. So this is Gary. Everyone say hi, Gary.
Good morning, everyone. Anyways, happy Women's International Day. And for you men that played hockey on Friday night, yeah. The pain is here. Getting older, too. So anyways, back to where we're talking about. And yes, Romans 7 there was like, you do those things that you don't want to do. And I'm going to tell a little bit what's going on in my life recently. And so anyways, if you don't know, I work for the city of Barrie. I operate a plow and a sander in the wintertime. And those hours can wear you out. 10, 12-hour days, 7, 8, 12, 14 days in a row, and it gets to you. And that's when you are disobedient, and you start forgetting about God, and you stop praying, and you stop reading your Bible, and all those things. So this was back in January. I hadn't gone to church for a whole month. And I was in work on the February the 6th. I'm working away, and I'm, like, getting tired again. And come back to the yard for a break, and I'm praying to God, and I'm listening to, actually, 100.3, David Jeremiah, and we were talking about Daniel that day. And I was like, yeah. And I start breaking up, and I start crying, and I'm like, God, you need to show me that you love me. And so anyhow, I get out of the truck and I go to the locker room, and I'm walking out, and there's not too many guys at work that are Christians. There's a few, but not very many. And the first person I see was David. And I turn, and I was like, hey, good morning, Dave. And he goes, good morning, Gary. He goes, how are things? I'm like, yeah, oh, everything's great. And I'm like walking away, and I'm like, no, Dave, things aren't good, and it's getting to me, and just worldly things get in your life, and it affects you, and it hurts you. And I asked him for a prayer, and he was like, yeah. And he does a weekly Bible study with his guys, and he prayed for me. And I'm walking out of that locker room thinking, getting back in my truck, I'm like, God, You are good. And I'm like, I love you. And it's times when you see that, and that's when you need him the most, is you just got to ask. Because you think he forgets about you, but he never does. And so anyways, fast forwarding, this just actually happened 2 weekends ago. What is his name from 100.3?
Steve
Bradley was here to talk. And it was a really good service. And seeing all the youth and young adults coming up front was like, it was really touching. And I was having a really hard time going through that whole service. And reason being, was I was thinking of my son. He moved out last June, stopped going to youth, stopped calling me, stopped talking to me. And that's hard. And not going to school. So I go up front and I'm like, I got to talk to him. I got to let him know how it felt. And it felt good going up front, praying for the young adults. And it was great seeing all that too. And before I had a chance to go talk to him, one of the guys, Carl, I told him what was going on. And he put, I asked for prayer. And he put his hand on me and we prayed. And I was like, okay. That's awesome. And I got to talk to Steve, and I've known him a few times from coming to youth events. And he was like, we had a good conversation. And he prayed for me, and he's like, well, I'm going to get everybody at work to pray for you too. I'm like, well, that would be great. So anyhow, that week I went, that was last week, I'm trying to think what day it was. I guess it was Monday or Tuesday. I'm like, I'm going to reach out to my son, Desmond, and it's just going to be a simple, I love you, Desmond, and you mean a lot to me. So the next day, I wasn't expecting a response, but the next day he goes, I love you too, Dad. And I was like, okay, God, that's pretty good. So that day I was like, well, you know, I'm going to ask Desmond to come to youth this week. And I'm thinking, well, he's turned it down every other time. It's probably going to be the same thing. Well, I was wrong. And Desmond agreed to go out to dinner with us, me and my wife, Connie, and come to youth that night. And walking through that door, I was a really happy father that day, watching him come through the door again. And just to see the reaction on the youth and the leaders embracing him, it was huge. And I think that meant a lot to him too. At least I hope it did. And it's just about, you know, you never know. But I know one thing, God always loves. He hears prayers. And that's what he wants from us, is just to ask and to come to him and talk to him. And so anyhow, my whole life has been kind of like the prodigal son. And then literally, that's how it was happening within the last couple of weeks. The last month was with him. I was like, oh, I'm walking away and my son's walking away. But you're always there, and you're always there to pick us up when we need you. So I was like, you know, I read The Prodigal Son, obviously. And the one thing that I'm going to end this with is, years and years ago, a Christian lady, she shared with me one of the most important verses in the Bible to me. It's the armor of God. But the ending is this, and pray in spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Also, pray for me that whenever I speak, words may be given so that I will freshly make known the mystery of the gospel. So I just I thank you all. Thank you, Jen. And prayer is always good. And it's, don't be scared to ask a friend, a fellow brother or sister in Christ to pray for you. Because God loves us, and he's calling us to do things like that. Thank you.
Thank you. Ask. We have a helper who wants to help. us do the things he's asked us to do so we can experience the fullness. I love this next slide because it constantly reminds me that to follow Jesus is to have complete joy and to come fully alive because we are forgiven, and Jesus will help us to live as he lived, fully surrendered to God. We follow Jesus. We do it 3 minutes at a time because we're going to make mistakes. But then we turn and we say, would you forgive me and would you help me? There's a song that I learned a long time ago, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And I have the words on the screen, so Tom, you'll just have to fast forward to the next one. Next one. Next. Just keep going. Yep. Right there. A prayer to change my heart. And it goes like this. Change my heart, O God. Fill me with your spirit. Take away desires that drive me far from you. Whisper from your word. Help my heart to hear it. Fill me with desire to follow you. No matter where you lead me, no matter how I'm tested, I believe that you can help me grow and help me to obey. One of the biggest things, acts of obedience you could do today, if you're struggling with obedience, is actually just to say, God, I'm struggling to obey you. I don't understand why I have to. Or you can even say, I really like my sin. But God just says, would you come and would you tell me that? Because as soon as you come to me, I actually then, we have a relationship and we can work on it together. And I had to do that yesterday. I had to say, God, I actually don't want to obey you in this. But I don't want to miss out on what you have for me either. Because I know that what you have for me is greater than what I could ever make for myself. And that you are preparing me for heaven. And I don't want to miss out on any blessing that you have for me. And so as we sing this next song, the prayer rails are available. That maybe you just want to step out and you want, maybe you want to come and pray for someone. Or maybe there's something in your own heart where you just need to say, okay, God, I need your help with this. I know you've asked me to do this. Or maybe you are struggling with some spiritual blindness or deafness in your life because you know you've said no to God about something. And you actually need to come and confess that to him. And so we're going to invite you to do that. We're going to sing, and the prayer rails are available, and your church family will come around and pray for you. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, change my heart, O God. Fill me with your spirit. Take away desires that drive me far from you. Whisper from your word. Help my heart to hear it. Take away desires. Help me to follow you. No matter where you lead me, no matter how I'm tested, I believe you will help me grow and you will help me to obey. Lord Jesus, change my heart. Help me to love you. I pray this in your name. Amen.